Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's Boskalis USPP call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you the conference is being recorded today. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Martin Schütteberg. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome indeed on behalf of the colleagues here with me for the 2016 call for the USPP investors. Looking back at 2016, but we'll also take the opportunity to look forward a little bit. With me here today, as announced, Hans Kamper, our CFO. We have Frank joining us as our treasurer, and Karl Heinz, of course, from Treasury as well. It's your reliable team on this end. As the operator said, the drill will be very predictable. We'll run through the presentation, the slides, which everyone should have received yesterday. It's a very thorough slide pack. We do not intend to go through the full deck. We will stop at chapter four with the outlook and a very, very brief comment on the strategy update, which we communicated to the market earlier this month. The full slide deck for the strategy is included as an appendix. Feel free to, in the Q&A afterwards, to put any questions to us. And again, as the operator said, we will be circulating a replay of the call tomorrow, and which will be available afterwards. With that, Hans, I'd like to hand over to you and kick off with the presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Martijn. Good day, everybody. Thank you for your interest and calling in. Let me start off with the slide pack on slide three, which is the highlights of the year. And if I would characterize 2016, it would be as a transitory year where we are coming from record profit levels, record performance in 2014 and 2015, the best years ever in the history of the company. In 2016, we have, and as we I think have announced for already quite a while, are now catching up with the developments, in particular in the oil and gas and offshore sector. As I think we expressed several times, we're relatively, compared to a lot of other players in the sector, relatively late cyclical, which means that in 2016 we have increasingly started to feel the effects for our business of the decline that has already been taking place for quite a while in the oil and gas and in the offshore sector. And in that sense, 2016 has for us been a transitory year from those record profit levels in 2014-15 to a lower level for at least the foreseeable future. If we look at the bottom line for 2016, as I said, it has been a transitory year, so we have done quite a bit of cleanup. We have taken, and I'll talk a bit more later on in my presentation on that. We have taken quite an amount in impairments on goodwill, on equipment that has also been done by our joint ventures, and in particular Smit-Lamnalco, for a total net of tax of around 840 million. But as you will realize, these are impairment charges. It's all non-cash. It's part of cleaning up the balance sheet and adjust the balance sheet to the new reality, in particular in the light of the corporate business plan that we have prepared in the last couple of months. But if you adjust for that and look at the operational profit, that has been pretty much in line with the expectations we had for 2016 and that we have expressed in the course of 2016. In that sense, no unexpected surprises. The profit level, so the net profit corrected for the one-off impairment charges that we have taken, was the 276 million, and I will make a drill down on that one when I discuss the three divisions in a minute or so. As I said, these impairment charges obviously are accounting losses, which means that we have had quite a solid EBITDA, lower than 2014 and 15, but still a very solid 660 million. Our balance sheet is pretty solvent, notwithstanding the impairment charges we took. We still have a solvency ratio of 56%. We have proposed, but I'll be discussing that in a few minutes in a bit more detail, proposed a dividend of €1 for 2016 based on the adjusted net profit. I'll flip to slide number five on the covenants. As I just mentioned, we have a pretty solid balance sheet. In December of last year, we have sold the largest part of our interest in Fugro. The remainder we sold in February, beginning of this year. So we have completely divested the stake of Fugro, that being the main reason why we have ended 2016 with a net cash position. And therefore, we had a covenant, a net debt over EBITDA. Well, as I said, in fact, there was no net debt. We had net cash in the order of 0.3 of the EBITDA. And as you will all be aware, at the beginning of this year, we have used part of that cash, because in total we're almost €1 billion. In cash available end of the year. Certainly, considering the fact that cash nowadays is an expensive thing to have with negative interest rates over here, we have used part of that net cash to prepay the 2010 series of USPP. Interest rate cover very healthy, a cover ratio of 15. So 2016 has been ended with a pretty solid, as I said, balance sheet. And from that point of view, I think nothing to worry about for you, not even when we are now facing stronger headwinds in our markets. Slide number six, order book. Order book has improved versus 2015. Part of that is the result of the fact that we have acquired the Volker Wessels offshore wind activities mid of 2016, and with that a solid order book, in particular in the cable laying business, which we now own for 100%. In the course of 2016, we got awarded a dredging contract for the construction of the Fehmarnbelt tunnel between Germany and Denmark. Also, you have to realize that the actual start of that project is dependent on environmental permitting in Germany. So that may take a while. That may even be beyond 2018 before that results in actual work. What is not included in this order book, and I'll be discussing that a bit more when I discuss dredging. In dredging, we have been faced in 2016 with some delays in contract awards. An important project that we have been working on for a good part of 2016 has resulted in an award in the meantime, which is the Duqm project in Oman, very substantial dredging project, but that has not been included in the order book numbers yet. Just on headlines on page 8, in comparison to slide 8, in comparison to 2015, revenues and results substantially down in dredging. I'll be discussing that in a minute. offshore energy revenues up, results somewhat lower than 2015, although substantially better than originally anticipated, but that is to a large extent due to the acquisition of and consolidation of the Falco Vessels offshore activities for the second half of the year, but also I'll be discussing that in a bit more detail in a minute or so. Towage and salvage down, but also be discussing that in a minute. Having said that, I will go to page 9, dredging and inland infra. Well, yeah, 2016 has been, in that sense, a bad year for, in particular, for dredging. Not so much inland infra. Inland infra is our infrastructure activities over here in the Netherlands. Level comparable to 2015. Profitability okay. Positive result with that. More or less in line with 2015, but 2015 has been a rather bad year for dredging. Certainly in comparison with 2015, and then of course you have to realize that in 2015 we had the contribution of the Suez Canal dredging project in Egypt, which generated quite substantial revenue in 2015 with a very good very good result. But that being said, that has been completed, the job in 2015, and we didn't have a similar project in portfolio, nor has the industry, because as you know, this was a large project for the industry in totality. We didn't have such a project for 2016. And 2016, I think you can say, was more or less Murphy's Law working in dredging, whereas in some years, everything goes well. As we had in 2014 and 15, 2016 has been a different year. As I said, we didn't have a project like the Suez project. We had delays. I mean, the pipeline in dredging is quite okay. It's a solid pipeline of project, but we encountered quite some delays. And I just mentioned the project. The Duqm project in Oman being one of those projects that we got awarded only the beginning of this year. Applies also to quite some other projects. We have the T-Oil project in Brazil, which we had anticipated earlier in 2016, but we only got that signed on towards the end of the year. So we had delays. We have had the issue with the Pluit project, which I think I discussed in the call in September, where due to political reasons, nothing to do with ourselves or with the project itself, but with the political situation in Indonesia, resulting in a suspension of the Pluit project, which continues till today. We have good hopes that in the course of this year we'll be able to restart the project, but still today that project is under suspension. And very unfortunately, I already said it was Murphy's Law. In November we had quite a serious damage on the Mega Hopper Queen, taking her out of operation for the rest of the year, which means that in particular in the segment of the large hoppers, and as you may remember, those are the ones that count most in the utilization of dredging equipment. In that segment, due to the factors that I just mentioned, we just had a very low utilization in 2015. Apart from that, because that's really where the issue was, on the projects we had under execution, in general, things went quite well. Still having reasonable margins on the usual amounts of settlements on older projects, but no way to, as I said, Suez project that not there at all. A similar project, and the issues with the utilization resulting in a substantially lower result and lower than we anticipated for 2016. Slide 10, but I already mentioned it, and it's visible over the 27 weeks. I mean, we had a very good level of utilization for the hoppers in 2014-2015. We did anticipate a lower level in 2016, but we did not anticipate a level as low as 27 weeks. Also, the second half of the year already was at a better level than the first half of the year when we were working at 25 weeks. Offshore energy, positive effect. I already mentioned it of the acquisition of the Volker vessels activities, the other 50% of the joint venture VBMS. So therefore, we do now fully consolidate VBMS, and also the two wind installation projects that we originally started with Volker Vessels in a 50-50 partnership, but as of the second half of last year, we have been executing for the full 100% ourselves. Just to get a bit of a better feel for that, the impact in 2016 of these newly acquired activities from a revenue perspective was just under 300 million. And of an EBITDA perspective was around 30 million. So if you would adjust that on the 2016 numbers, obviously revenues and EBITDA would be substantially less than 2015, which, and I already mentioned it at the beginning, is pretty much the effect of slowly but certainly we're feeling the effects of the reduced levels of activities in oil and gas, in particular in the areas of the services activities, the transport activities, being dockwise. Also, the good news for 2016 was that mainly based on the still substantial order book we had going into 2016, but also partly due to the jobs that we picked up in 2016, the utilization at the higher end of the equipment range, so it's the Vanguard and the what we call the Type 1 vessels, was still pretty good in 2016, even better than anticipated, but we increasingly felt the full pressure of the market, in particular at the lower end of the range, which is what we call the Type 2 or the T-class vessels, which is also the category of vessels where a substantial part of the impairment charges we took in 2016 relate to. More or less the same applies to the seagoing tugs, the Fairmount. Activity levels in that market have reduced very substantially as a result of the very substantial reduction in capex levels in oil and gas, which means that utilization rates have really come down, prices have come down for the ocean-going tugs. And have resulted in the second half of last year that we have put two of those vessels, two of the five, in lay-up mode. By the way, same action we undertook with respect to the category of dockwise vessels that I just mentioned, the T-class or Type 2 vessels, also of that class, in the second half of last year, we have put two vessels into layup mode. I think that's what I would like to say on offshore energy, and then thirdly, towage and salvage. Revenue has come down quite substantially. Half of that reduction is due to defect, as you may remember from having discussed at previous occasions at the beginning of 2016, beginning of the second quarter. We have transferred our last remaining 100% owned towage activities here in northwestern Europe, Germany, Holland, and Belgium, into the joint venture with Kotig from Rotterdam, which means that as of that date, we only do account for our share in the net result of that joint venture and no longer for revenue and for full EBITDA. So that's part of the reduction in revenue. The other half in the reduction of revenue is that that, as I think I mentioned in September, we have experienced a relatively quiet year in the salvage in our salvage activity, emergency response as well as wreck removal. Not something particular for us for Boskalis. That's been the market. Simply, I think, as I said in September, just not sufficient number of accidents happening at sea. Very good for the shipping very shipping lines. Not so good for our salvage activities. And whereas I think I also mentioned that before, and you see that also reflected in the result, where normally over the years we would expect to have next to the emergency response activities, at least one major wreck removal project. In 2015, we had three large wreck removal projects under execution, so you could say for 3 years of work. In 2016, we had none of these jobs. That's also why you see that the order portfolio, as it was at the beginning of 2016, and also was at the end of 2016, very limited, only just over 7 million euros, simply no large wreck removal project in portfolio. And then thirdly, what has put these results under pressure is that some of our towage joint venture do part of their activities related to oil and gas, primarily, of course, as you will realize, that's Mittlom-Nalco. That's basically most of their business, and also they are feeling to the full extent the depressed levels of activity in oil and gas. A very limited number of new terminal contracts coming to the market simply because the projects aren't there, which has put the results of Mittlom-Nalco under pressure. Also for that reason, as I mentioned at the beginning, Mittlom-Nalco has taken a very substantial impairment of equipment in 2016, not included in the numbers here, but in the total number, as I mentioned at the beginning, of the 840 million. But it is a reflection, as I said, of the fact that yes, activity levels within Mittlom-Nalco are under pressure. Then if we go to the next slide, just for background information. We have included there, as usual, the numbers of our joint ventures on the basis of the full 100%. And you could say, on average, we own around 50%. There you can see revenue, EBITDA, and the operating result all have come down, be it still on quite decent numbers, substantially positive, they're positive numbers, but down versus 2015, in particular due to the oil and gas activities within Mittlom-Nalco, and to a far more limited extent within some of the other joint ventures that do the bulk of their business in towage in ordinary port business, but to a smaller extent, every joint venture that is different also do some towage activities or limited terminal activities for oil and gas. And wherever that is the case, we have seen those numbers come down. Then lastly, at holding level on slide 14, those numbers and the EBITDA is up versus 2015, but there is quite a few one-offs included in those numbers, some one-off accounting gains and losses in the first half of the year. We had, I already mentioned it, we formed a joint venture with Kotig in April under IFRS rules. We we had to make a fair value valuation for the activities that we transferred into the joint venture. That generated a 34 million operational profit, but accounting profit only. Against that, we had our share in the first half year loss of Fugro. In the second half of the year, we had a book gain on our original 50% in the VBMS joint venture, due to the fact that we acquired the other 50% of Volker vessels. Under the accounting rules, we have to treat that as a divestment of our original 50% and as an acquisition of the full 100%. That generated a 40 million profit, which is basically the defect due to which you've seen the improvement of the EBITDA versus 2015. But against that, but it doesn't show up here in EBITDA nor in EBIT, but it shows up in financing charges. We had a one-off financing charge of 40 million, which is due to the fact that, as I mentioned before, we did the prepayment of the 2010 US PP. And as you are used to, whenever that happens, you're allowed make-whole payment. Well, that make-whole payment plus the unwind of the interest rate swap that we entered into in 2010 have resulted in a one-off 40 million loss in 2016. Which means the VBMS, as I just mentioned, was a one-off book gain, but against that, a 40 million one-off loss due to the USPP. Apart from that, within holding, we have the usual head office cost, etc. Nothing in particular there, except for maybe, yeah, one thing I should mention. We divested our 70% interest in the South African operations that generated a 8 million book gain that is included here as well. That with respect to the results. Continuing on to page or slide 16, just quickly the balance sheet. Not much to add to what I have already said. I think I can say it is still a very solid solid balance sheet with a solvency of 56%, with a very substantial cash position, although that in the meantime has reduced due to the repayment or the prepayment of the USPP. And of course here you see reflected the impairment on the equipment, as I already mentioned. Mainly the equipment of the offshore energy services activity, and in particular the lower end of the vessels of Dockwise, the seagoing tugs of Fairmount, and some other assets which are really at the bottom end of the of what we call our S curve. So that's the equipment that has rather basic functions operating in markets that are very much under pressure right now, and we have fully impaired the goodwill that we accounted for in 2013 education of the transaction of Dockwise, and the remainder of the goodwill of Smit for the that part of the Smit acquisition in 2010 that relates to the equipment working in the offshore oil and gas sector. Was one item of goodwill that was added in our balance sheet in 2016. That was the goodwill connected to the already mentioned transaction with Volker Vessels. And then, of course, a very substantial item already mentioned that one as well, which is the sale of the largest part of our stake in Fugro that generated 237 million in December last year. And as I also mentioned, the remainder of that stake we have sold off at the beginning of this year. All in all, very quickly, slide 17. At a substantially lower level than the previous year, still a very healthy cash flow of over 460 million euros, substantially more than we have used for capital expenditure. That one was gross, just over 180 million, and net just under 180 million. And then, in summary, therefore, the full cash flow on slide number 19, taking into account a reduction in our negative working capital. So, and as I think we discussed that before in one or two of the earlier calls. Whereas when activity goes up, you typically see we generate more negative working capital. So we have a positive cash flow contribution from working capital. When activity levels do reduce, when we operate in more of a buyer's market than a seller's market, you see we lose some money in this respect. But some of you may remember that we had something like a cash out of around 200 million mid of this year, where typically mid of the year we always have more money tied up in working capital, or a lower negative number, I should say. Towards the end of the year, that situation always improves substantially. You saw that in 2016 as well. I think it was around 200 million negative in the first half of the year. For the total of 2016, it was substantially below 100. All in all, a very substantial operational cash flow of 400 million, notwithstanding the acquisition of Volker Vessels and Strabag, and the net capital expenditure. Also due to the divestment of Fugro, as I mentioned, plus the monies that were released as a result of the forming of the Kotech joint venture, almost all of that 413 million operational cash flow ended up in cash by the end of the year, and therefore bringing, as you saw before, the cash position to almost €1 billion at the end of 2016. Just for completeness sake, on page 20, the maturity schedule of the still outstanding USPP and the revolving credit facility of 600 million that we have, that mid of last year we exercised the option to bring the original duration back to five years. So that facility is there, committed until mid of 2021. None of that, obviously, with the cash position we had in 2016 was used. Page 22, the dividend, I already mentioned it, €1 per share. We have maintained our current dividend policy. Payout ratio, therefore, was just under 50%. Also, for 2016, we will give shareholders the choice between taking up the dividend in cash or in shares. But we have also announced that for the number of shares that will be issued, or the number of shares that will be issued for the 2016 dividend, considering our balance sheet and the amount of cash available, we will repurchase any shares that will be issued as part of the dividend, and therefore means that we will have a cash out in 2017 to be anticipated of around 130 million for the 2016 dividend. Outlook for 2017, varied picture in the market. I already mentioned dredging was due to a number of factors a pretty bad year in 2016, also not as good as we saw the market in 2014-15, It is still a decent market, reasonable volume of work in the pipeline. So all in all, I would say quite okay for dredging and inland infra. Towage, we have moved towards a lower level, but volumes currently are stable. We anticipate that to be the case in 2017. Offshore energy, that's where the challenge is going to be in 2017 and the years following that. As I mentioned, we are late cyclical. We had a pretty good volume of wind installation work in 2016. We will not see a similar level in wind. It's a volatile market. You see work, you have to commit to work at least 1.5 years prior to executing it on the basis of what we have in portfolio now, which is less than we had under execution in 2016. Installation work, that will be lower in 2017. The cable laying activities, the VBMS activities that we acquired for the full 100% last year, there the order book is quite okay and volumes will be similar. Oil and gas will still be depressed in 2017. So all in all, a decline in contracting and in services. We have a very clear imbalance in supply and demand for the services. We have seen increases in supply over the last couple of years. We have seen the demand being substantially reduced, and that's where the real challenge is going forward. And again, that's why we have taken the impairment charges as we have taken them. As we discussed last time, already in 2016, we have entertained a substantial fleet rationalization program. I already mentioned we put a number of vessels in layup. We have divested quite a number of vessels. We will further divest some vessels in the next 18 months. In total, around 24 units. Associated with that is a reduction in the number of employees, crews on board of those vessels of around 650. Substantial part of that has already been implemented. The rest will be implemented within the next 18 months. Following that, we have just very recently started a full cost reduction program here in the head offices in the Netherlands to also right size our head office functions here to the market. All in all, brings us to an expectation for 2017 of a lower result versus the adjusted 2016. You remember that was the 276 that I mentioned at the beginning. 2017 will be lower. CAPEX will be approximately 250 million. Probably superfluous to say, but even with that lower result, and even with this amount of CAPEX, we still have a substantial cash generation. Then, as Martijn announced very briefly, otherwise I could spend another hour on this call, the business plan for 2017-2019. We have spent a lot of time here in internally, as we do every 3 years, in going through our markets, going through our activities on the basis of three-year business plans that are being prepared by all of our business units and setting ourselves for the next 3 years. Very much in summary, that business plan for 2017-2019 from a strategy point of view is very much in line with the last one, that adjusted to the new market circumstances, the challenging market circumstances we have, three themes, focus. We have sharpened our pencils with respect to the focus on the market side and on the activity side. meaning that the focus is in particular on our contracting activities, activities that we do partly global, as with dredging, but on the offshore energy side, activities that we focus more on regions, being Northwest Europe, being the West of Africa, and the Middle East. That's where we believe we can really, on the basis of the position we have it over here, add value to that. That's the regions where we should focus on, and far less so on some of the other regions in the world, and focus on value-adding assets, which means that we really focus on those assets also within the offshore services sector, where we have assets that that we can, particularly by using them within our own contracting activities, add value to. Meaning that, and I already mentioned the seagoing tugs. I already mentioned the lower end of the range within within dockwise vessels that are working primarily in capacity-driven markets, with a relatively straightforward transport functions. Not too much we can add there with contracting activities. We will look to right-sizing that capacity. We will look to possibilities in the market, maybe to team up, form joint ventures, or do other things that we try to increase the possibilities for those assets. We may divest some of those assets. The focus is really on the assets higher up on the S curve. So that's one theme. The other theme is optimize our operations, increasing the effectiveness and the efficiency of our operations, which means that we will invest in strengthening further our contracting capabilities and increasing the efficiency of our operations. I already mentioned the fleet rationalization program 2016. The current exercise we're undergoing here at head offices, all with as objective to bring the efficiency up. And then the third theme is expand. We'll expand in dredging and inland infra. We still would like to strengthen somewhat further our position over here in the Netherlands. We want to use the current momentum in the market and the very low prices at construction yards and shipyards by strengthening our fleet, and use this opportunity to strengthen our fleet at very depressed prices. When there is an opportunity to expand, for instance, by acquiring, as we did last year, a company like Strabag Wasserbau, we will obviously be very interested, but I don't anticipate any major activities there. As you know, it is a pretty much consolidated market in dredging. We don't think, if we look at the largest player in the market, that any of these players will come for sale in the foreseeable future. So dredging will be very much focused on the fleet. Towage and salvage. We will look at opportunities in towage to where we can, within the current joint ventures, or by addition to the current joint ventures, our footprint in towage. Maintain our position in salvage. I already mentioned it. It is a slow market at the moment. We see other parties struggling in the salvage sector. We are generally more flexible than most of the players due to the breadth of the activities in the group. The fact that we have a salvage does make use of capabilities that we have elsewhere in the group, so we are in a better position than most of the others in the industry to cope with the reduced activity levels at this moment. and so therefore we believe we can strengthen our position, but we don't anticipate any major investments there in the course of the business plan period. And offshore energy, we will look at opportunities there to fill in gaps that we see arising in this sector, due to the fact that over the last so many years we have seen capacity providers becoming active as contractors in that market. Most of them now are in severe difficulties. We only have in this sector, different from dredging, a relatively small market share, and we believe that with our current assets and with some strengthening in our asset base, we can move up the S curve and fill in a role that others that are going to leave the industry will leave there for us. Meaning, we don't anticipate any, let's say, very large acquisitions there. We do not intend to become a player in particular in the deep sea market. We're more of a shallow water players. So we don't really look at the Saipems and the Technips or the Heremas of this world. We would look at positions below their radar screen, and as I said, in that sector we see opportunities to be played, and that means in particular improving our asset base there, which means investing in equipment. As you may know, we have already started on converting one of the Dockwise vessels into a crane vessel, a vessel that can transport, particularly for the wind sector, but also looking beyond this business plan period, also for the decommissioning and the off oil and gas construction sector, vessels that can transport and lift. New concept for that vessel, using an existing vessel, we're converting it to a crane vessel. We have made part of this business plan to do that with a second vessel that we have available in the Dockwise fleet as well, and therefore developing our lifting capabilities in that sector. We're looking at acquiring one or two offshore construction vessels. Again, a lot of distressed assets in the market available right now. We think we could have some good opportunities there, buying some of that equipment. And certainly, if we do come across the right party there that has equipment that we would or activities that we would like to add to that, we will be interested in that. But as I mentioned, I do not anticipate that to be any major acquisition, unless we come across a very attractive, unexpected one. And of course, we always will look at that, but currently don't anticipate any bigger acquisitions there. That is, I also look at Martijn, I think that's pretty much in headlines what our business plan contains. And to conclude with that on the next slide, so therefore, challenging business environment, but a very solid basis with a net debt-free balance sheet, with healthy cash generation, with a strong client people and asset base. We will focus and optimize in particular the existing business. That's the core of the attention for the next three years. Then including the items that I just mentioned, the conversion of the vessels, the construction of a new cutter for dredging using the current price levels in the market, and the acquisition of possibly one or two offshore construction vessels. Included all of that, we believe over the next, we anticipate the next 3 years, our capex level to be in total some 750 million, so 250 million on an annual basis, which is pretty much in line with the last couple of years. And therefore, the concluding remarks is this period we will use to strengthen ourselves, to make use of opportunities, to keep a solid balance sheet, to generate cash, and getting ready for the future. And for us, that is probably beyond 2019, assuming we'll see a recovery in the oil and gas market and new capital expenditure there. We will use this period to improve our position to fully capitalize on these opportunities arising probably towards the end or even after this three-year period.
And with that, thank you very much, Hans, for looking back and looking forward. Operator, I would like to invite you back into the call and see if any of the participants would like to put a question to the team here.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be taken by an operator. If you wish to cancel that request, you can press the hash key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A queue. This will take a few moments. Once again, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. That's star one to ask a question. Please stand by. We do have a question coming through. And the question is from the line of Jeff Atwood. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the update. As always, we really appreciate it and appreciate the detail and the discussion. Couple questions. As this is a snapshot of 12/31, can you tell us where your current cash and debt balances are today since the prepayment?
Yep, you said a couple of questions. You first want to do all the questions, or should I answer this one first?
Yeah, I can give you all of them. So that's the first one. And then also, I know you've got some of this in the appendix at the end, but just your outlook on, you know, offshore energy is a fairly big sector. I was just curious as to how much involvement you'll have on the wind as well as cables and pipes, et cetera.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, shall I answer those two?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cash and debt. We're still, as of this moment, substantially positive net cash. Also, the gross cash number has reduced substantially. I already mentioned we did the prepayment, including the make whole and the unwind of the swap. I think there was a total involved franc of around 400 million in debt in the beginning of January. So we're down around 400 million due to that. On the other end, there was around 100 million coming in as a result of Fugro. We have some money absorbed again in working capital, but still substantially cash positive, and that would means our only substantial financial liabilities are the USPP. So that means what we're probably at around 500-600 million still at cash on the balance sheet. Okay. Is that sufficient to give you a feel for the financial position?
Yes, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And then maybe wind.
Slide,
I think
39.
Yep, that is slide.
Shall I do that one?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, my turn.
Slide 39, Jeff, what we've done there is we have taken a look at the offshore wind market, northwestern Europe. That is where, you know, our natural presence is, and that's also where, you know, the most mature wind market is, if you look globally currently. What we have done is we have looked backwards and forwards in terms of the addressable relevant market for us. That means excluding procurement of turbines, excluding the cost of cables, excluding the procurement cost of foundations. looking exclusively at the installation and transportation scope of substations, intra-array cables, which are the cables within the field, the interconnectors, and the foundations. And then if you look backwards and forwards, you see that this is a market on average of around about 1.7 billion euros per annum. What you will also see in the slide is it's a lumpy business. There's not a granular stream of, you know, projects and foundations being put in there. There are two projects, maybe three projects per year. You're in or you're out. Last year, as Hans said, 2016, we were in with two projects. 2017, as you can see, the market is relatively quiet relative to 16 and 18. And we also have, therefore, a less busy year in 17. What is actually more important is if you look forward-looking, the size and the growth of the market, this is not a market which is, you know, projected to be growing substantially for the next few years. Bear in mind, wind, despite the tremendous economies which we have seen and savings which we've seen on the cost of wind, it continues to be a market which is subsidized and continues to be dependent on subsidy allocations from governments, which makes it also possible to look forward in the pipeline to see which countries have got subsidy allocated for new wind developments, and therefore makes it also fairly easy to predict which fields, wind parks will be coming to the market and to estimate the cost of that size. We have in the past had a relative share on the foundations on the low side, roughly 9-10% market share. On the cables, which is a substantial part of this 1.7 billion, we have had a very strong position as a European leader. You can see that on slide 40. Roughly a third of the cable market we have through VBMS, 100% Boskalis nowadays. And we would expect to be expanding our share on the foundation side once we get the converted Dockwise vessels into operation, and also have a project lined up for the converted Dockwise vessel in 2018. So all in all, I think if you summarize, it's a market which has substance, where we have a very strong position on the cables and where we'll be strengthening ourselves on the foundation side. Having said that, this is not a market which is going to be growing impressively going forward. We want to get our fair share, and using assets which we have within the group, which we can deploy in wind, but very importantly in the Boskalis philosophy, also having assets which we can deploy into other markets, the cable-laying vessels we can, with a relatively simple conversion, put back into other purposes like in the dredging market, also in the stone installation market, and similarly the installation vessel, the Dockwise vessel, which we'll be initially using for wind, but which we can also deploy into fixed oil and gas installations, decommissioning, and even into salvage operations. So in a nutshell, interesting, nice to have in the current environment, but in terms of the outlook, we have modest growth expectations.
That's very helpful. If I could throw one third question in here and then get out of the queue, could you summarize kind of what the Fugro experience, what some of the teachings were on that, and kind of what the net impact of that was?
I can be quite short on that. That investment generated for us a loss, in the sense of what we invested in Fugro, and at what price we sold out, in the order of between 30 to 35 million. More or less, you could say, in 2016, we took our share in the loss of Fugro, which is, of course, is an accounting item. But that was almost a 30 million, reducing therefore our book value of the investment, and we got more or less out of the investment at around book value. So around 30 million loss. Why did we do so? We went into that investment seeing, as I think we mentioned before, at a point where Fugro was being undervalued. we believed, and we think it is one of those few, let's say, opportunities, as I mentioned, of what could potentially be a good source of increasing the scope of our group, where we could have had together with Fugro in what form whatsoever, a good strengthening of both companies, either as part of Boskalis or in another way. Two things happened, I think, or maybe three things you could say. I mean, as you noted, management of Fugro was not open at all to anything. They have embarked on their own course of improving the situation for Fugro. We think they had, to some extent, were successful there, in particular with respect to balance sheet and financing, less so with respect to strategically adjusting the company. They have not been very successful in divesting their subsea activities, for which we, by the way, didn't have any interest, because we believe that their subsea activities were not very well positioned in the subsea market. And certainly, notwithstanding that all, their valuation in the market has been such that even, let's say, we would have contemplated making an offer for the company, that could not be done at a price that we think we could justify. I mean, their numbers, their EBITDA generation capacity has come down further also in 2016. Their valuation in the market, we believe, is very hefty, even without a premium. So therefore, we did not see any possibilities there for the foreseeable future. As I mentioned, where our priorities are with respect to the next 3 years have brought us to the conclusion it made more sense to divest ourselves of that stake, even at the price of having suffered a loss there of just over 30 million. And that's it, or Martin, you would like to add anything to that?
No, I think you're exactly. And you know, I think one of the things worth maybe mentioning is we were also picking up some anxiety with our own shareholder base, who were a little, you know, potentially concerned that, you know, emotions may prevail here, and that we would, you know, push ahead, come hell or high water, with an offer regardless of price. And, you know, I think we've been, you know, demonstrated here, it's a rational decision. It's never nice to take a loss, but I think it's always better to, you know, let the rational part prevail and step out against terms which we believe, you know, is the best outcome. And we believe genuinely that there are opportunities out there which we can get, which we can grasp quicker, cheaper, and which, you know, could be cleaner as well in terms of what we're acquiring. Because bear in mind, Fugro continues to be a company which still has their own administrative concerns, which you need to tidy up, even if you were to get the keys to the castle tomorrow.
That's very helpful. Appreciate the candidness.
Thank you.
And if you do have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad, and an operator will take your name. That's star and one to ask a question. To have no other questions, so I'll hand back to you.
Okay, well, we'll take that as a compliment that we were thorough and answered everything during the call. As I mentioned, we will be circulating the radar facility tomorrow. If you do have any other further questions for us, please do not hesitate to drop us an email. We can always either by email or set up a one-on-one call if needed. And again, on behalf of the team here, thank everyone for your interest, and look forward to picking this up 6 months from today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect your line.